the NBC Star Playhouse. NBC presents Helen Hayes, Frederick March, Rex Harrison, Lily Palmer, and many others of the most eminent actors of our time, transcribed in the NBC Star Playhouse. And here is our host, John Chapman, drama critic of the New York Daily News, to introduce this week's star and play. Mr. Chapman.
Thank you. And holiday greetings to our audience. I hope it is an exceptionally large audience this time, for our play is a dramatization of one of the two most beloved tales in English fiction, Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. And what would be the other story? James Barrie's Peter Pan, of course. Alice's Wonderland is indeed a wonderland, for it is almost the only place in this crazy mixed-up world where the old and the young can meet on common ground and share their pleasures. This is why I hope our audience is large, for here is a fable for people of all ages. Our play is coming to us from Hollywood. If we hurry now, we can join Alice in her pursuit of the White Rabbit down that magic hole into a joyous wonderland.
Now, Barbara Ruick as Alice in Alice in Wonderland. It started this way. Alice was beginning to get very tired of sitting by her sister on the bank and of having nothing to do.
Emily?
Emily?
Alice, please. I'm reading.
Oh, all right. Are you reading one of Father's books? Because they don't have any pictures or conversations in them. I don't see how you
can... Alice, dear, why don't you make a daisy chain? There's lots of beauties on the bank.
Oh, it's too hot and stupid this afternoon.
Oh, tell me a story, Emily.
Later.
But there's nothing to do now. It's such a sleepy afternoon. Oh, everything's sleepy. The river's sleepy, and the birds are sleepy, and the grass is sleepy, and the clouds are sleepy.
Well, fancy, a white rabbit with pink eyes. He seems to be in a hurry anyway. Poor dear can't get his watch out of his waistcoat pocket.
Oh, dear, I shall be too late. The Duchess will be furious. I shall be so late. Oh, dear.
What a funny little rabbit. And such a beautiful purple waistcoat. Waistcoat. That's odd. I've never seen a rabbit with one before.
I shall be so horribly late. Oh, dear.
There he goes down a rabbit hole. Wait for me, rabbit. Seems big enough to go down. I think I'll lean over and see. It must be a dreadful distance down. After this, I shall think nothing of falling downstairs. How brave they'll think me at home. I wonder if I shall fall right through the earth. How funny it'll seem to come out among the people that walk with their heads downwards. I had it in geography. The Antipodes, I think. No, that doesn't sound right. But I shall have to ask them the name of the country. Please, ma'am, is this New Zealand? Fancy asking that. What a dreadful long time I've been falling. Dinah will miss me tonight. She's such an intelligent cat. Oh, I hope they'll remember her milk. Dinah, dear, I wish you were here with me. There aren't any mice in the air, but then you might catch a bat, and that's very like a mouse. But do cats eat bats, I wonder? Do cats eat bats? Do cats eat bats? Do bats eat cats? Do bats eat... Oh, well, I'm down, and I seem to be in one piece. there goes the white rabbit.
Oh, my ears and whiskers, how white it's getting. The Duchess will be furious. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Oh, he's gone. Well, I don't know how he did it. There doesn't seem to be any way out of here. Let's see, he went down this side. Oh, here's a door. But it's locked, and it's so tiny I shall never fit through. There must be a key somewhere. Here it is on this glass table. Let's see now. Oh, what a lovely garden. Oh, if I could only get through the door. Oh, I wish I could shut up like a telescope. I think I could if I only knew the way to begin. Well, I might as well shut the door. It's no use. I suppose I should put the key back where I found it. Now, that's odd. This bottle wasn't here before.
Drink me.
Drink you? Well, that's all very well, but maybe you're poisoned. No, it isn't marked. All right, then. Mmm. It's all kind of flavors. It's good. What a curious feeling. I must be shutting up like a telescope. Oh, I do hope it stops. I might go out altogether like a candle. Goodness, I'm glad it stopped. I should hate to be like a candle flame after you've blown it out. But I'm small enough now to get through the door into the garden. I'll be able to see... Oh, I've left the key on top of the table. I can't possibly reach it. Oh, I shall never get out. Oh, come, there's no use crying. Alice, I advise you to leave off this minute. But it's no use to pretend to be two people now and give myself advice. There's hardly enough left of me to make one respectable person. Oh, dear, I did want to get into the garden.
Eat me!
What? Oh, there's a cake under the table. I didn't see it before.
Eat me!
All right, I might as well. If it makes me larger, I can reach the key. And if the other way, I can creep under the door. Growing. I must be 9 feet tall. But I still can't get into the garden. Oh, dear, how vexing. Oh, you ought to be ashamed. Great girl like you, crying. Stop it. Oh, there's the rabbit again.
Oh, the Duchess. Won't she be savage if I've kept her waiting? Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh,
excuse
dear.
Excuse me, Mr. Rabbit.
Oh,
I wonder.
Good heavens, a giant. This is too much.
Oh, I wish he wouldn't run away so. He's dropped his fan and gloves. Everything is so queer today. I feel so different. But if I'm not the same, who in the world am I? I'm sure I'm not Ada. Her hair goes in ringlets, mine doesn't. Besides, she's she, and I'm I. I'll try if I know the things I used to know. I'll try and say, how doth the little... how doth... the little crocodile improve his shining tail and pour the waters of the Nile on every golden scale. How cheerfully he seems to grin, how neatly spreads his claws and welcomes little fishes in with gently smiling jaws. Oh, I'm sure those aren't the right words. I'm not me at all. Why, I put my hand in the rabbit's glove. I've grown small again. Oh, and I can go through the door into the garden. Oh, no, I've left the key on top of the table. Now things are worse than they were.
The Duchess, oh, my dear paws, my fur and whiskers. She'll get me executed as sure as ferrets are ferrets.
Oh, here's the white rabbit back.
Why, Mary Ann, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm not Mary Ann. I'm Alice.
Nonsense. You must be Mary Ann. Run home this moment and fetch me a pair of gloves and a fan. Quick now, for I must be off. Remember, pair of gloves and a fan.
Well, took me for his housemaid. But I'd better get his gloves. He'll be furious. I shall have to hurry before the real Mary Ann catches me. Fancy running errands for a white rabbit. I suppose Dinah will be sending me on messages next or having me watching households. Now, the gloves must be in here somewhere. Oh, here they are on the chest. And the fan.
Drink me.
Oh, another of those bottles.
Drink me.
Well, I might as well. I know something interesting is sure to happen. I hope it'll make me grow large again. I'm tired of being such a tiny thing. Well, here I go. I think maybe I'm growing too fast. I hope it stops soon. I shan't be able to get out the door. I better kneel so I fit. Maybe if I put one arm out the window. There. Now I can get my foot up the chimney. Now what will become of me? There. Thank goodness I've stopped growing. Oh, it was much pleasanter at home when one wasn't always growing larger and smaller and being ordered about by rabbits. When I grow up, I'll... But I'm grown up now. At least there's no more room to grow up here.
Mary Ann, Mary Ann, put me in at once. Fetch my glove. Put me in.
The white rabbit won't get in with me filling the room.
Very well, then I'll go out and get in by the window.
I don't know why I'm trembling. I must be at least 1,000 times larger than the rabbit. There he is outside the window. I'll just grab.
Ah!
Oh, heavens. He must have fallen into a cucumber frame.
Pat, where are you? Where is that gardener?
Sure, I'm here digging for apples, Your Honor.
Well, come help me out of this. There. Now, what's that in the window?
Sure, it's an arm, Your Honor.
Nonsense. Fills the whole window. Who ever saw an arm that big?
It's an arm, nevertheless.
Listen, Pat, I'll tell you what we'll do.
Oh, dear. They must both be trying to get in the window. I'll just have to grab again.
Ah!
Oh, what a number of cucumber frames there must be. I wonder what they'll do next. Oh, I wish they could pull me out the window. I'm sure I don't want to stay here any longer.
All right, Bill, you're to go down the chimney.
Oh, so Bill's coming down the chimney, is he? Well, I think I can pull my foot down a little. There he is. Now I'll kick.
There goes Bill. Catch him. Well, we'll have to burn the house down.
You do, and I'll set Dinah at you.
Scared him. I wonder what next. If they had any sense, they'd take the roof off.
All right, now. A barrel full will do. Throw him through the window. One, two, three.
Now they're throwing pebbles at me.
You stop, or I'll get Dinah.
That's odd. The pebbles are turning into cakes. If I eat one, it's sure to make some change in my size, and it can't possibly make me larger. Well, which way? Oh, I'm getting little again. At least I can get my arm out of the window. I'm getting tired with my foot up the chimney. I'm 3 inches high again. If I can find the little door, I'll be able to get into the lovely garden. The best thing would be to find someone who knows the way. But there doesn't seem to be anything here but a mushroom. And I can't even see over it. Maybe if I stand on tiptoe, I'll find something on top. There.
It isn't polite to stare.
Oh, a caterpillar smoking a water pipe.
Who are you?
I hardly know, sir, at present. I've changed several times today.
Explain yourself.
I can't explain myself, I'm afraid, sir, because I'm not myself, you see.
I don't see.
Being so many different sizes is very confusing.
Not a bit.
Well, it feels queer to me.
You? Who are you?
Oh, dear. That's where we started. You see, I can't remember things.
Can't remember what things?
Poetry, mostly. I try to say it, but it comes out all wrong.
Repeat. You are old, Father William.
Well, I'll try.
You are old, Father William, the young man said, and your hair has become very white. and yet you incessantly stand on your head. Do you think at your age it is right? In my youth, Father William replied to his son, I feared it might injure the brain. But now that I'm perfectly sure I have none, why, I do it again and again. You are old, said the youth. One would hardly suppose that your eye was as steady as ever. Yet you balanced an eel on the end of your nose. What made you so awfully clever? I have answered two questions, and that's enough, said his father. Don't give yourself airs. Do you think I can listen all day to such stuff? Be off, or I'll kick you downstairs.
That's not said right.
Not quite, I'm afraid. Some of the words have got altered.
It's wrong from beginning to end. Well, what size do you want to be?
I should like to be a little larger. 3 inches is such a wretched height to be.
It is an excellent height to be. I am just 3 inches high.
Oh, dear. Oh, don't go. Oh, I wish the creatures wouldn't be so easily offended. Huh, he's gone and left his water pipe. Well, I'm still not in the garden. I wish I could find my way. I shall have to ask at that house. Oh, there's someone knocking now. I'll have to wait. I beg your pardon. Do you think the people who live here might
There's
know...
no use in knocking anymore for 2 reasons. First, I'm on the same side of the door as you. Second, they're making too much noise inside to hear you.
Oh, please, then, how am I to get in?
Well, there might be some sense in your knocking if we had the door between us.
But
for instance, now, if you were on the inside, you might knock and I could let you out, you know.
How am I to get in?
Oh, I shall sit here until tomorrow. Next day, maybe.
How am I to get in?
Are you to get in at all? That's the first question, you know.
Oh, it's really dreadful the way people here argue.
Oh, I shall sit here on and off for days and days.
But what am I to do?
Anything you like.
Well, there's no use talking to him. He's perfectly idiotic. I'll just open the door and walk in.
Pepper's good for you. I'm the Duchess, little girl. Who are you?
But...
Oh, never mind, never mind. Time's money, I always say. Cook!
Yes, Mum?
More pepper.
Oh, no, not more pepper. The baby's sneezing and howling already, poor little thing. Oh, please, watch what you're doing. You almost took the baby's nose off.
If everybody minded their business, the world would go round a deal faster than it does.
Which would not be an advantage. I learned all about it at school. You see, the Earth takes 24 hours to turn round on its axis.
Talking of axes, chop off her head.
It takes 24 hours, I think. Or is it 12?
Oh, no, don't bother me. I never could abide figures. Here, you may hold him a bit if you like.
Oh, don't throw it. There now, baby. It's all right.
Well, I must go and get ready to play croquet with the Queen. Cook. Mind the soup kettle.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, look out! You hit the baby. Well, if I can take this child, they're sure to kill it in a day or two. Come on, baby. Let's get out of here before they kill us both. There now, baby. Oh, wouldn't it be murder to leave you behind in there? Oh, don't grunt. That's not at all a proper way of expressing yourself. You know, baby... That turned-up nose of yours looks much more like a snout than a real nose. And your eyes are extremely small for a baby. Well, if you're going to turn into a pig, my dear, I'll have nothing more to do with you. There's no mistaking it now. You are turning into a pig. Here, I'll set you down. Well, it would have made a dreadfully ugly child. But it makes rather a handsome pig, I think. Now, I wonder which way I ought to go from here. Well,
from the bow.
Oh, Cheshire Cat from the Duchess's. Cheshire Puss.
Yes?
Would you tell me, please, what sort of people live around here?
Over that way lives a hatter, and in the other way lives a March Hare. With it either you like. They're both mad.
Oh, but I don't want to go among mad people.
Oh, you can't help that. We're all mad here. Do you play croquet with a queen today?
I should like to, but I haven't been invited yet.
You'll see me there. Well, goodbye. Meow.
Well, he's vanished. He certainly goes quickly. I suppose it's because he's a Cheshire Cat. Now there's nothing left but the grin. Well, I've often seen a cat without a grin, but a grin without a cat. It's the most curious thing I ever saw in my life. March Hare it is, then. And that must be his house. The chimney shaped like ears, and the roof thatched with fur. Oh, it's nearly tea time. I wonder if I can get any of the March Hares. Well, raving mad or not, here I go. Although, I almost wish I'd gone to see the Mad Hatter instead.
In a moment, Act Two of Alice in Wonderland on the NBC Star Playhouse. Our program will continue after a 30-second pause for station identification. We continue with Act Two of the NBC Star Playhouse production of Alice in Wonderland with Barbara Ruick as Alice. There was a table set out under a tree in front of the house, and the March Hare and the Hatter were having tea at it. Dormouse was sitting between them fast asleep, and the two were resting their elbows on it. Very uncomfortable for the Dormouse, thought Alice.
Only it's asleep, so I suppose it doesn't mind.
No room. Go away, little girl, go away.
Don't be silly, there's plenty of room. I'll sit at the armchair at the end of the table. Now, you must be the Hatter.
That is correct. He is the March Hare. Dormouse is asleep.
I am not.
Have some wine?
Well, there's nothing but tea. I don't see any wine.
Oh, there isn't any. Mm.
Then it wasn't very civil of you to offer it.
Well, it wasn't very civil of you to sit down without being asked.
Well, the table's set for more than three. I didn't think you'd mind.
Your hair wants cutting.
You should learn not to make personal remarks, Mr. Hatter. It's very rude.
Why is a raven like a writing desk?
Oh, riddles. Now we'll have some fun. I think I can guess that.
Do you mean you think you can find the answer to it?
Exactly so.
Then you should say what you mean.
Well, I do. At least I mean what I say. That's the same thing, you know.
Not a bit. Why, you might just as well say that I see what I eat is the same as I eat what I see.
You might just as well say that I like what I get is the same as I get what I like.
Just as well say that I breathe when I sleep is the same as I sleep when I breathe.
It is the same for you, Dormouse.
Let's see now. The riddle. Raven and a writing desk.
What day of the month is it?
The fourth, I think.
There, I thought so. Look at my watch. 2 days wrong. I told you butter wouldn't suit the works.
It was the best butter, Patter.
Some crumbs must have gotten in as well. You shouldn't have put it in with a bread knife.
Try dipping it in the tea. It was the best butter.
Oh, Dormouse is asleep again. Pour some tea in his nose.
Of course. Just what I was going to remark myself.
Have you guessed the riddle yet?
No, I give it up. Why is a raven like a writing desk?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Nor I.
Well, I think you might do something better with your time than waste it in asking riddles that have no answers.
Well, if you knew time as well as I do, you wouldn't talk about wasting it. It's him. Well,
I don't know what you mean.
Of course you don't. I dare say you've never even spoken to time.
No, but I have to beat time when I learn music.
That accounts for it. He won't stand beating. Now, if you kept on good terms with time, he would do almost anything for you. For example, if it is 9 o'clock, time for lessons, a whisper to time, and it's 1:30, time for dinner.
Oh, I wish it was.
Is that the way you manage?
Oh, dear, no. We quarreled last March, Time and I, just before the hair went Magino. It was at the great concert given by the Queen of Hearts. I had to sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Bat. You know the song?
Oh, I've heard something like it.
It goes on, you know. Twinkle, twinkle, little bat, how I wonder what you're at. Up above the world you fly, like a tea tray in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, twinkle,
twinkle, twinkle, twinkle, twinkle.
Well, stop him, stop him, dip him in the tea.
Pinch his nose. There, he stopped.
Well, I'd hardly finished the first verse when the Queen bawled out, "He's murdering the time off of his head."
Oh, how dreadfully savage.
Never since that time I'll do a thing I asked. It's always 6 o'clock now.
Is that the reason so many tea things are put out here?
Yes, that's it. It's always tea time, and we've no time to wash the things between whiles.
Then you keep moving around the table, I suppose.
Exactly so, as the things get used up.
But what happens when you come to the beginning again?
Let's change the subject, Hatter. I vote the young lady tells us a story.
Oh, I'm afraid I don't know one.
Oh, well, then the Dormouse shall. Wake up, Dormouse.
Dormouse, wake up. Come on now, yes, quickly.
Up, come on.
I wasn't asleep. I heard every word you fellows were saying.
Tell us a story.
Yes, yes, please do.
And be quick or you'll be asleep again.
Once upon a time, there were three little sisters, and their names were Elsie, Lacey, and Tilly, and they lived at the bottom of a well.
What did they live on?
Treacle.
Oh, they couldn't have. They'd have been ill.
So they were very ill.
But why did they live at the bottom of the well?
Take some more tea.
I've had nothing yet, so I can't take more, Mr. Hare.
You mean you can't take less? It is very easy to take more than nothing.
Nobody asked your opinion.
Who's making personal remarks now?
Well, we're forgetting the story. Why did they live at the bottom of the well?
It was a treacle well.
But there can't be it.
If you can't be civil, you'd better finish the story yourself.
Oh, no, please go on. I won't interrupt you again.
Well, these three little sisters were learning to draw.
What did they draw?
Treacle.
I want a clean cup. Let's all move one place on.
But the March Hare spilled milk jug in his plate, and I've got to move to his place.
Shh. Get on with the story, Dormouse.
Yes. Where did they draw the treacle from?
You can draw water out of a water well, so I should think you could draw treacle out of a treacle well, eh, stupid?
But they were in the well.
Of course they were. Well in. They were learning to draw, and they drew all manner of things. Everything that begins with an M.
Why with an M?
Why not? Oh, now the Dormouse is asleep again.
Oh, come on now. Up again. Up, up. Wake up.
That begins with an M. Such as mousetraps and the moon and memory and muchness.
Muchness?
Muchness. You know, you say things are much of a muchness. Did you ever see such a thing as a drawing of a muchness?
Really, now you ask me, I don't think...
Then you shouldn't talk.
Well, that's too much. That's the rudest thing... Well, I certainly shan't stay. Goodbye.
Oh, Dormouse is asleep again.
Wake him up again. Pinch him.
Put him in the teapot.
Come on now.
Wake up, Dormouse.
Well, I shall never go there again. It's the stupidest tea party I ever was at in all my life. Very curious. There's a door in the tree trunk. But everything's curious today. I think I may as well go in at once. Oh, it's the glass hall again. And the door to the lovely garden is open, and I can get through. Ah, here I go at last. What lovely white roses. But that's odd. Those gardeners are painting them red. Why, they're really playing cards.
Look out now, Five. Don't go splashing paint over me.
You joggled my arm, too.
That's right. Lay the blame on others.
You'd better not talk. I heard the Queen say yesterday that you deserve to be beheaded for bringing the cooked tulip roots instead of onions.
Well, of all the onions.
I beg your pardon. Could you tell me why you're painting these roses?
Well, miss, you see, this ought to have been a red rose tree. And we put a white one in by mistake.
And if the queen was to find out, we should both have our heads cut off. So you see, miss, we're doing our best to fix them.
Oh, my! The queen! The queen!
The king and queen of hearts.
Well, who is this? What's your name, child?
My name is Alice, so please, your majesty.
And who are these creatures on the ground?
How should I know? It's no business of mine.
What? Off with her head! Off with her head!
Nonsense.
What?
Nonsense. Oh.
Consider, my dear, she's only a child.
No matter. Where you two on the ground? What have you been doing? Never mind. Off with their heads. Can you play croquet, child?
Yes, your majesty.
Come along, then, your majesty.
Yes, of course. On to the croquet ground.
Hello.
Oh, it's the White Rabbit.
It's a very fine day.
Oh, yes, very. Where's the Duchess?
She's under sentence of execution.
What for?
Did you say what a pity?
No, I didn't. I don't think it's at all a pity. I said what for?
She boxed the Queen's ears.
Oh,
the Queen will hear you.
Get to your places. Let the croquet game begin.
Goodness, what an odd croquet match. Hedgehogs for balls and flamingos for mallets. And what a din.
Hello.
Oh, it's the Cheshire Cat. Now I shall have somebody to talk to.
How are you getting on?
Well, I don't think they play at all fairly. They all quarrel so, and there doesn't seem to be any rules.
How do you like the Queen?
Not at all. She's so extremely... Hello, Your Majesty.
Who are you talking to?
A friend of mine, Your Majesty. A Cheshire Cat. Allow me to introduce it. Cat, this is the King and Queen of Hearts.
I don't like the look of it at all. However, it may kiss my hand if it likes.
I'd rather not.
Oh, don't be impertinent. Don't look at me like that.
A cat may look at a king. I read that in some book. But I don't remember where.
Well, the cat must be removed. Oh, my dear, would you...
Yes?
I wish you would have this cat removed.
Off with his head.
Yes, of course. But consider, my dear, the cat is vanished up to the neck. We can't cut off a head without a body to cut it off from.
Ridiculous. Anything that has a head can be beheaded. No more nonsense. And if something isn't done soon, I'll have everybody executed all around.
Oh, well, the cat belongs to the Duchess. You might ask her.
She's in prison. Fetch her here.
Immediately, Your Majesty.
Well, I can't stay here all day, you know.
You can't leave. You're to be executed.
I'm sorry. Well, goodbye, meow.
Stop him. Stop him. Where's he going? Off with his head.
Oh, you can't. Think how glad I am to see you, dear.
Oh, where's the Duchess? I thought you were in prison.
I was, but I got away when they went after the cat.
You know, you were so savage when I met you at the kitchen before. I wonder if it's always pepper that makes people hot-tempered and vinegar that makes them sour.
Oh, you're thinking about something, dear, and that makes you forget to talk properly. Now, I can't tell you what the bottle of that is, but I shall remember it after a while.
Perhaps it hasn't one.
Oh. Tut, child, everything's got a moral if you can only find it. And the moral of that is, 'tis love that makes the world go round.
You said before that it's done by everyone minding their own business.
Well, it means much the same thing. And the moral of that is, take care of the cents and the pounds will take care of themselves.
Is there always a moral?
I dare say you're wondering why I don't put my arm round your waist. The reason is, I'm afraid...
Well, I don't bite, you know.
Oh, very true. Dogs and mustard both bite. And the moral of that is, birds of a feather flock together.
Only mustard isn't an animal.
Oh, right as usual. What a clear way you have of putting things.
It's a mineral, I think.
Oh, of course it is. Oh, there's a large mustard mine near here. And the moral of that is,
The more there is of mine, the less there is of yours.
Oh, I know. It's a vegetable.
Oh, I quite agree with you. And the moral of that is, be what you would seem to be. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's nothing to what I could say if I chose.
Oh, pray don't trouble yourself.
Oh, dear, it's no trouble. No. How do you do, Your Majesty?
What are you doing here?
Fine day, Your Majesty.
I give you fair warning, Duchess. Either you or your head must be off, and that in about half no time. Take your choice.
Well, of course. Well, goodbye.
Well, now, have you seen the Mock Turtle yet?
No. I don't even know what a mock turtle is.
It's the thing mock turtle soup is made from.
I've never seen one.
Come along, then, and he shall tell you his history. Alice, this is a griffon.
Oh, how do you do?
A lazy thing. You're to take this young lady to see the mock turtle.
Oh, very well.
Good. I must go back and see after some executions I've ordered.
What fun!
What?
Well, why the Queen? It's all her fancy, that. They never execute nobody, you know. Come on.
Oh, dear. I was never so ordered about in my life.
Hi there, Mock Turtle. Hey, Mock Turtle, this here young lady, she wants for to know your history, she does.
Very well. Once I was a real turtle.
Well?
When we were little, we went to school in the sea. The master was an old turtle. We used to call him Tortoise.
Why did you call him Tortoise if he was a turtle?
We called him Tortoise because he taught us.
Oh.
Really, you're very dull. Now, hold your tongue.
We had the best of education. In fact, we went to school every day.
I've been to day school, too.
With extras?
Well, yes. We had French and music.
Oh. And washing?
Certainly not.
Then it wasn't really a good school. At our school, they had it at the end of the bill. French, music, and washing extra. But I only took the regular course.
What was that?
Reading and writing, of course, to begin with. And then the different branches of arithmetic. Ambition, distraction, uglification, and derision.
What else had you to learn?
Well, there was mystery, ancient and modern. Then drawling.
Drawling?
The drawling master was an old conger eel. He taught us drawling, stretching, fainting and coil.
What was that like?
I can't show you myself. I'm too stiff. And the griffin never learned.
Eddin' time!
And how many hours a day did you do lessons?
10 hours the first day, 9 the next, and so on.
What a curious plan.
That's the reason for call lessons. They lessen from day to day.
Oh, then the 11th day must have been a holiday.
Enough about lessons. Then there's something about games.
Oh,
there.
Perhaps you've never been introduced to a lobster.
Well, I once tasted it. No.
Then you have no idea what a delightful thing a lobster quadrille is.
Oh, what sort of dance is it?
Why, first you form a line along the seashore.
Two lines. Seals, turtles, salmon, and so on. Then, when you've cleared all the jellyfish out of the way, you advance twice.
Each with a lobster is a partner?
Advance twice. Set to partner.
Change lobsters and retire in same order.
Then, you know, you throw the...
Lobsters?
As far out to sea as you can.
Swim after them?
Turn a somersault in the sea.
Change lobsters again?
Back to land. And that's all the first my dear.
Well, it must be a very pretty dance.
Come, let's try the first figure. We'll both sing.
Very well, then. One, two.
Will you walk a little faster? Said a whiting to a snail. There's a porpoise close behind us, and he's treading on my tail. Will you, won't you, will you, won't you, will you, won't you join the dance? Will you, won't you, will you, won't you, won't you, will you join the dance? Have no notion how delightful it will be when they take us up and throw us with the lobsters out to sea. Will you, won't you, will you, won't you, will you, won't you join the dance? Will you, won't you, will you, won't you, won't you, will you join the dance?
If I'd been the whiting, I'd have told the porpoise to stand back.
Oh, no! They were obliged to have him with him. No wise fish would go anywhere with that one.
Of course not. Why, if a fish came to me and said he was going on a journey, I'd ask, with what purpose?
Don't you mean purpose?
He means what he says. Well, now, shall I dance somewhere, or shall the Mock Turtle sing you a song?
Oh, a song, please, if the Mock Turtle would be so kind. Well?
Well, there's no accounting for taste.
What?
Sing a turtle soup, old man.
Beautiful soup, so rich, so green, waiting in a heart to ream. Who for such dainties would not stoop? Soup of the evening, beautiful soup. Soup of the evening, beautiful soup.
The trial's beginning. Come on, come
what,
on.
What trial?
Never mind, come on.
Beautiful soup, who cares for fish? Game or any other dish, who would not give all else for tomb? Any worth of beautiful soup?
Silence! The court is now in session. Their Majesties, the King and Queen of Hearts, presiding.
Oh, the King's wearing his crown over a judge's wig.
Shush! You'll be suppressed.
First witness, the Mad Hatter.
Oh, here, here, here. Coming, coming. I beg your pardon, Your Majesty. I hadn't quite finished my tea.
When did you begin?
14th of March, I think. Or 15th. Or perhaps 16th.
Write that down, Will.
It adds up to £9.76, Your Majesty.
Good. And you, witness, take off your hat.
Oh, but, sir, it isn't mine.
Ha! Stolen!
I keep them to sell.
Give your evidence or I'll have you executed on the spot.
Quit shoving, little girl.
I can't help it. I'm beginning to grow again.
Well, you shouldn't grow in here. It's too crowded.
Herald, bring me the list of singers in the last concert.
Give your evidence, Hattle.
I am a poor man, Your Majesty, and what with the bread and butter getting so thin and the twinkling of the tea...
The twinkling of what?
It began with tea.
Of course twinkling begins with tea. Go on.
I am a poor man, and most things twinkled after that. And the March Hare said...
I did not.
You did.
I deny it.
You deny it. Leave out that part.
It was tea time, Your Majesty, and the Dormouse said... The Dormouse said...
He can't deny it. He's a sweep.
I'm a poor man, Your Majesty.
You're a very poor speaker.
Go. And take off his head outside.
Next witness, the Duchess's cook.
Give you all evidence.
Shan't.
Well, I suppose I've got to cross-examine you. What are tarts made of?
pepper, mostly.
Treacle.
Collar that dormouse. Turn the dormouse out of court. Pinch him up with his whiskers.
The cook has disappeared, Your Majesty.
Never mind. Call the next witness.
Next witness. Alice.
Careful there. If you don't stop growing, you'll upset the jewelry box.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Now then, what do you know about this business?
Nothing, whatever.
Silence. Rule 42. All persons more than a mile high to leave the court.
I'm just growing again. I can't help it. And besides, I'm not a mile high.
You are?
Nearly 2 miles high.
Well, I shan't go. And besides, that's not a regular rule. You invented it just now.
It's the oldest rule in the book.
Then it ought to be number one.
Consider your verdict.
No, no sentence first, verdict afterwards.
Stuff and nonsense. The idea of having the sentence first.
Hold your tongue.
I won't.
Off with her head. Off with her head. Off with her head.
Off with her head. Off with her head. Off with her head.
Who cares for any of you? For nothing but a little pack of cards.
Nothing but car. Wake up, Alice, dear. It's nearly tea time.
Oh, Emily. Oh, I've had such a curious dream. Or was it a dream? Listen, Emily. I can still hear it. Listen. It's the Mock Turtle singing. Listen.
Beautiful soup.
Only the cows.
They're driving them home now. You have been dreaming, Alice.
I suppose so. It was so curious. Well, come on now, Emily. We'll be late for tea.
That's the story the Reverend Mr. Dodson told his little guests on the banks of the Thames. The good doctor wrote out his little story for the real Alice as a Christmas gift and signed it with a pseudonym. And all that's left today of the Reverend Mathematician of Oxford are the stories Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll.
Listening to the NBC Star Playhouse production of Alice in Wonderland, starring Barbara Ruick. At this time, the National Broadcasting Company is honored to welcome Arthur J. Connell, National Commander of the American Legion, who is here in our New York studios with Sylvester L. Weaver, President of the National Broadcasting Company. Commander Connell.
As the year 1953 comes to a close, it is my pleasure to present to you, Mr. Weaver, as President of the National Broadcasting Company, the American Legion Television and Radio Awards for your many programs, civic, patriotic, and entertaining in nature, which you have presented to the American public during the course of the past year. Outstanding in television were The Line of Duty, a hallmark story adaptation from the pages of the American Legion magazine, and Back to God, the interdenominational religious program presented from NBC's Center Theater last February the 3rd. In radio, we certainly commend the series entitled Last Man Out, a pro-American production exposing the communist menace throughout the world. And for significant network cooperation on the following Legion programs and special events, the annual Legion birthday observance, your excellent coverage of our national convention, the traditional post-convention homecoming ceremonies, Yuletide greetings to hospitalized veterans, and New Glory for All Glory, the Legion's continuing program, encouraging year-round flag display, the observance of proper flag etiquette. For these and many other fine programs, Mr. Weaver, the American Legion salutes you and the National Broadcasting Company.
Thank you, Commander Connell. As part of our responsibility for acquainting the American public with important events in the world in which we all live, we of NBC have been happy to give coverage during the year to the various activities of the American Legion. We have been pleased not only to cooperate with the American Legion in telling its story to the public, as at the time of its national convention, but pleased, too, to present many programs which reflect the principles of Americanism which the American Legion so staunchly supports. In acknowledging these awards, I am glad you have recognized specific programs on NBC's television and radio schedules, programs in both the commercial and the sustaining categories. I should like now to say a word in appreciation of the American Legion and its auxiliary for their constant and devoted remembrance of and attention to the disabled veterans of our country, to their dependents, and to the widows and orphans of the men who served in our armed forces. Such devotion the year round cannot help but be an inspiration and a challenge to all Americans.
Thank you, Mr. Weaver and Commander Connell. Now our host, John Chapman, returns with a word about next week's production.
And so our trip to a marvelous land of fancy has ended. It has been a joyous one, and our thanks to the Star Playhouse Hollywood Company for its happy support, and to Ernest Canoy for his adaptation of an immortal fantasy. Next week, our program will again come from Hollywood, and it will give us a fine start for the new year. The play will be a radio version of Ringlardner's great story, Champion. And we have a champion actor for the title role, James Cagney. This is Chapman, closing with season's greetings to all from the Star Playhouse.
Alice in Wonderland was adapted for radio by Ernest Kinoy. In our cast today, Emily was Don Bender, the rabbit Arthur Q. Bryan, the bottle Roy Whaley, the cake Jack Carroll, Pat Dick Ryan, the caterpillar Earl Keane, the footman Jack Nestle, the duchess Maya Gregory, the cook Margaret Brayton, the cat Fritz Feld, the march hare Parley Bear, the mad hatter Jack Crucian, Dormouse Don Messick, 2, William Euler, 5, Tony Michaels, the Queen, Ida Reese Marin, the King, Jerome Sheldon, Griffin, Tom McKee, Turtle, Jim Nusser, and our singers, Max Smith and Thurl Ravenscroft. Original music for our play was composed by Henry Russell and conducted by Robert Armbruster. NBC Star Playhouse, partly transcribed, is a production of the NBC Radio Network in association with Gale and Adams, supervised by William Welch and directed by Andrew C. Lowe. Your announcers, Fred Collins and John Wall. This is the NBC Radio Network.